Renatato, may we all have joy in sharing this time and considering God's word to us all. In the gospel reading last week, we were hearing about the good shepherd and analogies with farming and caring for livestock. This week, we've turned to consider the gardener, the qualities of a good gardener, particularly with reference to the vine. Many of us are gardeners of various levels of competency. Myself, I lack green fingers talents, but I have the privilege of being married to a passionate gardener and helping her in her work. We may all know slash and burn gardeners. They may well finish up with a tidy garden, but the beauty of and the love for gardens is more likely to be found in the garden of a planter, a nurturer, a pruner. This is particularly so in the case of fruiting plants, both trees and bushes, which yield better with careful pruning. Grapevines in particular need careful pruning. The leaves have to be pruned judiciously so that the grapes don't get too much sun when they don't get enough sun. The gospel passage also focuses on how fruitfulness can be achieved. Fruit bearing is not something that branches do of their own will. The fruit thrives because the vine is pruned by a good gardener. How has the gardener brought this about? We hear in the passage we've just heard, by pruning and removing in verse 2 and cleaning, verse 3. And who is doing the pruning in God's garden? Jesus tells us he is the true vine and his Father is the gardener. Verse 1, and I am the vine and you are the branches. Verse 5, what a contrast with the parable of the vineyard is to be found here. The story of violence and greed that we read of in Mark 12. Now we hear about a vine embraced by intimacy and love, offering abundant fruitfulness. In the parable, the absentee landlord, as a last resort, sends his son to be killed by the tenants. Here in John, we hear how the father tends the vine, pruning the branches for fruitfulness. A reading of many Old Testament stories might give the impression that God favours the slash and burn form of gardening. Cut off and burn the branches. But in the gospel, we hear of God's precision pruning. We know he loves us, even if we were lacking in fruitfulness. And he wants to prune and nurture us. We ourselves are just branches. We don't make ourselves fruitful. And whatever is going on with the other branches is the work of the gardener, the vine grower. In John, we are told our responsibility to the rest of the branches is love. In verse 9, which follows next week, we are told that if we want to bear Jesus' fruit, then we need to abide in his love. Another lesson about nurturing is found in the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Whatever was an Ethiopian familiar with the Old Testament scriptures doing in Gaza and then travelling up to Jerusalem to worship? Well, history tells us that Queen Candace the VI ruled the kingdom of Kush from 40 to 50 AD. That kingdom extended through northern Africa to the Mediterranean and had a presence in Gaza, quite close to Jerusalem, clearly around about the Gaza we know today. Perhaps he was either in charge of the royal treasury there or was a ruler checking on the king's assets as an auditor coming from headquarters nearer to Ethiopia. As a learned man, he was attracted by the mysteries of the Old Testament scriptures. And I was fascinated to find out that the dynastic history of this kingdom extended from before 1000 BC to 1973. with the overthrow of the last Menelik emperor, no less than the colourful Haile Selassie. It is noteworthy that the Ethiopian is not named, whereas Philip's name appears 9 times. But the story is about Philip and his nurturing ministry. Perhaps the Ethiopian represents those who are geographically, ethnically and sexually on the margins. But he was moved to ask this scruffy man who he found on the wayside for an explanation and heard from Philip of the good news about Jesus, moving him to seek baptism. We are told an angel and the Holy Spirit were moving Philip to have courage and offer assistance. Was the Spirit also moving the Ethiopian to seek out the truth behind the scripture? The Ethiopian was a sophisticated and wealthy man, able to ascertain the literal meaning of the scriptures he was reading, whereas Philip would have looked rather ragged, having recently escaped Jerusalem, and possibly no more than the shirt on his back. The after story is that Ethiopia remains today as the only predominantly Christian state in that African region since the rise of Islam. The love of God for the true vine and its branches is asserted in the strongest terms in the first letter of John, which we've just heard. As Philip came to believe, the life-giving love of God is too wonderful to keep to ourselves. It is free without conditions, but not without consequences. We are commanded to love one another as God loved us. 1 John leaves no room for doubt. Just as God is, so we are in this world. Although we are called to love our sisters and brothers in our community of faith, if we love one another as God has loved us unconditionally, there can be no boundaries. Those on the margins, such as the Ethiopian, are equally loved. If Jesus shows us what God's love is like, then there can be no doubt that our love to others must extend to every single human being. Every branch, every blood, every shoot on the vine, even those far away from us and beyond our understanding. Finally, let's look at the psalm we shared in reading together from verse 25. Anne Lamont, the American novelist and Christian writer, said, "Hope begins in the dark, the stubborn hope that if you just show up and try to do the right thing, the dawn will come. You wait and watch and work. You don't give up." Isn't that what a great gardener does and is rewarded with fruitfulness? The psalm begins with a lament in the dark, apparently foretelling Christ's statement from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" However, it is the lament of a conflicted individual rather than a prophetic statement, although some may interpret it as a Christocentric manner. He continues to lament for most of the psalm. "I cry by day, but you do not answer." Verse 2. "I am a worm." Verse 6, even more gardening analogy. It is not until the 24th verse, not until after 24 verses, we started reading from verse 25. 24 verses of lament. In verse 25, the psalmist, having waited, watched, worked, tells us that for him, the dawn has arrived. He summons the whole community to experience the transformation he has experienced. Think of a gardener excitingly calling you to look at something flowering or fruiting in their garden. This is the psalmist's story. This is Christ's story. This is our story. This is the story of generations to come. This is the story God, the living gardener, has given us when inviting us into his presence. And so I pray that from these scriptures we can draw assurance, knowing that God is the loving gardener to everybody, that Jesus the Christ, the true vine, has a branch for us to dwell in, and that the Holy Spirit will give us the strength to accept the gift of the gardener's love and a place on the true vine. And I pray that in return we can love the gardener, the true vine, and all the branches. God will prune. Our calling is to love, which we acknowledge in our prayers of reconciliation every time we join together in worship, as we did this morning. Amen.